know God is for us. So let's have our scriptural affirmation today so we can be for him. John 14, starting at the 16th verse. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you.
Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also.
I know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?
Jesus
answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Dear Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you asking that you would so manifest yourself in this place this day that we might believe, that we might really understand, that we might grasp the truth, and that the truth would shake our lives and make us into the people that you would have us to be. We trust you, Father, and we praise you, and we thank you. Help us this day. You are welcome in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We lift your name on high. There is no other name above your name. We praise you. We love you. We worship you. You are great, and there is none other. Worship him with me today. You are great, Lord. You are worthy, worthy of all glory, worthy of all praise, worthy. We praise your holy name. Great is the Lord, and greatly, greatly, greatly to be praised. It's amazing. Sometimes we are just so overwhelmed with the presence of the living God. It was really a prayer that I had this morning. I was just thinking, we praise you, God. Would you overwhelm us with your presence? Today, that's my desire, is that we would be overwhelmed with the reality of the presence of God. You know, God says he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He's not forgotten us. He knows where we are. He knows what we're doing. And what I desire for us today is that we would be overwhelmed with the sense of his presence, that we would be overwhelmed with the fact that he is, and he rewards those who diligently seek him. He rewards us for seeking to have his presence. presence in our lives. And so today, Lord, as we look at your word, reveal yourself to us in a way that overwhelms us. Have your way. You're a good and wondrous and amazing God, and we are thankful. There is none other like you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Overwhelm us with your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're in the 14th chapter of John still. 14th chapter has been amazing so far. You know, in verse 1 it said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Don't worry about a thing. Don't you worry about a thing, because if you believe in the Father and you believe in me, you get what you need. He's good. He's good to us. He's got rooms for us. He's got mansions for us. He's got a place for us where he is. And we can know that in spite of any present circumstance we find ourselves in the end, and when it's time for us to be in eternity, when it's all over here and things have all changed, we can be assured that wherever he is, that's where we'll be. We'll be with him, and being with him is good. I want you to understand, being with him is the desirable thing. That is our desirable future. That is what we want to do. That's what we need to do. He goes on in this 14th chapter and saying, you guys that I'm talking to, my disciples, the people that say, I believe Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, believe that you're the Messiah, you people, you don't recognize the Father? You don't recognize that the Father is in me and I am in him? So if you've seen me, if I've revealed myself to you, then you have a revelation of the Father. Do you realize that you are in the presence of the King? He's here and he's showing himself to you. Listen, if you're not too confident about him being in you, look at somebody you're confident that he's in, and you can see that the Father is revealing himself. He's showing himself. He's working in our midst. Verse 10 says, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works." This word of God is God speaking to us. He has come to speak to you this day. When we open up this word and rightly divide the word of truth, you can be assured that God is talking to you. You ought to be in conversation with this God. You ought to be in dialogue with him. But quite frankly, sometimes when we're in dialogue, it's just a monologue on our part, and we need to let him be the one doing the monologue. We need to listen to him. We need to hear him. We need to be swift to hear. We need to listen to God. We need to hear what he has to say to us. Why? Verse 12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also?" Wow. The works that you've done, that blows me away if I just stop and think about that even for a moment. What kind of works did Jesus do? turn water into wine. I don't think that's what you want me to do. He found people that were hurting, and he engaged in the process of seeing them healed. Man with a withered hand. And he told him to stretch it forth, and he was healed. Maybe that's what you want me to do. There were those that were lame, and he said, get up, take up your bed and walk. Maybe that's what you want me to do. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's something even greater than that, because it's greater works that I'm supposed to be doing, greater than. Maybe it's just greater in quantity. I don't know, but maybe I'm supposed to look into somebody's dead situation and speak life and see life come to that situation. Hope where there's been no hope. Peace where there's been no peace. How do I deal with all of this? Because it says, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, with my character, with my blessing, with my will, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. Wow. Why would you do that, Lord? Why would you allow me to experience the flow of your blessing in such a miraculous and wondrous way? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. We are to be about the business that was started all the way back in Genesis, and that we, as mankind, are to spread the glory of the Lord over the entire earth, to spread the presence of God over this entire earth, so that the whole earth is constantly aware that the King has come, that the King is in charge. That the King is the one that we need to bow down to, the one that is worthy of our worship. Verse 14 says, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now we slander him and libel him because, we say things are in his name that aren't in his name. We need to move away from that and walk so much in the Spirit that we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, but we will walk in the Spirit. If you love me, keep my commandments. Okay, so now the sermon starts. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. The one that they could see, the one that they could feel and touch, the one that was with them, the one that they were able to sense all the time that was there, was leaving them. He was going to go away from them. He was going to go to the cross. Jesus Christ died on the cross. He died on the cross so that our sins might be paid for. Mankind had sinned, and because mankind had sinned, there needed to be an appropriate shedding of blood. It had to be one who was without sin, who was not dying for his sin, but was able to step in and die for my sin. So Jesus came, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, and now he was stepping in for my sin, stepping in for your sin. He dies on the cross, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose again and is now making intercession for us, saying, that one's mine, that one's mine. They've confessed with their mouth, they believe in their heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, they're mine. They are part of us because they are in me and I am in you, Father. I will pray the Father and he shall give another comforter. But Lord, they need to know that I'm with them. They need to know that I've not left them nor forsaken them. They need to sense something that they can't see and can't feel. And you know, we've been kind of regulated, kind of shaped to not believe in what we can't see. You know, yesterday and all day yesterday, there was something happening that you couldn't see. Something was on the move that you couldn't see that was powerful. A couple of dozen people in Mississippi were killed. Powerful. All over this area, you see trees down and things broken. And in Mahoning County, there's still 28,000 people without power. It was all because of something that we couldn't see. We felt the effects. I mean, we felt the effects of what happened. We heard about it. We could see stuff flying around. We could see stuff falling down. We could feel it. But we couldn't see it. And that's the kind of power, well, that's only a small picture of the kind of power that God wants us to have. It's something you can't see. I can't point and say, oh, Dana has the Holy Spirit. I can see it all over. No. But I can know it's there. I can know that if a person confesses with their mouth, they agree with God. They agree with the Word of God. They agree that the Word of God is true. And they believe in their heart. Not only are they verbally saying it, but they are living it out with their life. If the person is living that out with their life, I can be assured that they have the same power working in them that raised Christ from the dead. There he was in the tomb, stone cold dead. But he got up. He got up, and he got up by the very power of the Comforter, the power of the Spirit of the living God. If you are saved, I know if is a huge word, but if you are saved, the Spirit of God is now in you, working in you, moving in you, changing you, and you are being changed from glory to glory to glory. You're changed when you hear the Word of God and are obedient. You're changed when you look into the Word of God and meditate on it. You're changed when the Spirit of God speaks to you and you know it. You're changed from glory to glory to glory. And I don't know what you're going to look like in the end, but I do know this: you'll look like Jesus. He's working in you this day. He's working in us this day. Oh, may his overwhelming presence be sensed, realized this day in this place. Give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. He's not going to leave you. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not. They don't see him. They don't see him. They don't even recognize the evidence of him. They don't see him. Neither do they know him. But you know him. For he dwells with you and shall be in you. Do you believe the word of God today? He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I won't leave you as an orphan. I won't leave you out there. I've got you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Oh, come to us, Lord. Even this day, yet a little while, and the world sees me no more, but ye see me because I live, ye shall live also. If Jesus is living, then you can live. I always stumble over quoting this, but I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Do you live today? But it's not me. It's Christ living in me. He loved me and gave himself for me that I might live. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and my Father in ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. You're not just hearing the word, but you're one that does the word. You're obedient. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. That's how you show your love. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Oh, I want to see him. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my word. It's a really funny thing. The more you keep his word, the easier it is to keep his word. That doesn't mean the Christian life is easy. That's not what I just said. But the more you obey him, the more you want to obey him, the more that you fall in line, the more that you experience him, the more that you see of him. He likes hanging around people that like hanging around him. He wants to show himself to you. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not please don't tell me you love God, but you just don't want to do anything he says. Please don't tell me you love God, but you don't think it necessary to obey him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine. I'm not making this stuff up. But the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Let's not get confused. He's the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things. One of the beautiful things is that the Word of God is so hard to understand before you're saved. But incrementally, once you start just working at it, just a little bit, it comes more and more. And you have these aha moments. I like aha moments. Don't you like God revealing himself to you? You go, wow, when did he sneak that into my Bible? That couldn't have been there, because that's like, ooh, good stuff. He wants to give you good stuff day in and day out. The Word of God is so good. He loves us. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said to you. Peace. 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 I'm telling you, we live in an age that some days it feels really hard to have peace. Some days we suffer loss. Some days things that are confusing happen. Some days I can't get it. I don't understand it. It's hard for me to comprehend. And I would like to say that those things are just, you know, short term, but sometimes they drag on and drag on and drag on and drag on. And the only way that I've found to relieve that sense of not having peace is to go to the one who is a permanent peace for me. You see, the world wants you to have peace, but it's a circumstantial peace. You know, you set a pile of money on the altar, so I have a peace for a few minutes until I have to decide how to guard that money. You know, you give me a new car, I have peace for a moment or two until I've got to put gas in it or find a charging station for it. You know, I've got peace, you know, all for a moment when the world supplies, but when Jesus supplies my peace, I have a peace that passes all understanding. It's like, how's that person so content? Jesus. You know, you got to have the kindergarten answer to everything. What's good about life? Jesus. Who loves me? Jesus. You know, who's going to take care of me? Jesus. Who provides for me? Jesus. We get it all complicated. We get it all complicated and we forget and think that we can supply a better answer. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives you, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Don't let the world squeeze your heart. Some of us like have angina, you know. We just say, oh, gosh, God, help me. Oh, and he's saying, relax. Here's how you relax. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. Again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. Again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be made known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Oh, there's so much more I could go on with that, but I won't. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, you might believe. Sometimes we go through these things so that we might strengthen our belief. When we see what we've been delivered from, I believe more and more and more. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. Satan ain't got nothing here. You don't have to give him anything. Today you can have his peace. You can experience his peace in such unique and wonderful ways. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the time. Are you ready to allow Jesus to provide the comforter for us? Oh, comforter. Oh, Spirit of the living God, help us now. Maybe you'll bow your head with me. Dear Father, I gladly recognize that Jesus Christ is Lord. And he is my Savior. I say it, and I believe it in my heart. Thank you for saving me. Now, Lord, help me to live. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I might live this Christian life, because it's impossible without you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If God is working in your life today, feel free to come forward. Feel free to pray with people in the pew. But take him seriously. Take him seriously.